Right now, it's time to bring in Jim Lynch. Jim, and Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us on a Tuesday morning here on Robinhood Radio. And when he joins us, he brings well over 50 years of experience in the stock market, Wall Street, the economy, and politics. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you.
Well,
how are you doing?
Well, not too bad. Last day of August, heading into the first day of September, and the American experience of 20 years officially ended last night when the last U.S. plane left with the Marine commander on board.
Right. That's fantastic. I'll say something in a second on that. I hope everybody out there in Robinhood Radio has gotten through a bit of a storm we had. Certainly nothing in comparison to what's happened in the Southland. Anyhow, let's begin with Afghanistan, and let's understand the following. I'm going to just talk facts. This is not an opinion. 20 years ago, George Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld decided they wanted to go into Afghanistan. They lied to get in there, and they lied to stay in there. And I'm hopeful, as I put on the Twitter, that the DOJ and others in Washington will investigate the tremendous amount of money that Republican donors and corporations and people generally made from this war. I'm certain Democrats as well, but since the Republicans were in power and had head start on contracts and other things, I'm certain they shared much of the largesse of the American taxpayer dollar wasted in Afghanistan. Secondly, about a year or so into the Afghanistan situation, and I forget the exact year, but I remember the facts, our military had sighted bin Laden in a truck, in a car. It was on our television screens, actually. And they elected not to fire and kill him. And the reason being was they had been given an order that could only come from the White House, namely George Bush, not to kill him. So there we see the relationship of the Bush family with the people in Saudi, because he is from Saudi, and the people in the Middle East who they were gumbas with in terms of oil and so forth. Now we fast forward to the present. Donald Trump, for 4 years, said he was going to get out of Afghanistan. He did not do that. But what he did do was he made a deal in 2020, as we were getting into the election, with the Taliban. He did not include the Afghanistan. You understand? How can you have a peace agreement if you don't have the largest population in the country sitting at the table? In any event, at that time, Trump said, look, you stop shooting at our people now, and I'll get out in May of next year. Now, that's a fact, okay? That's a fact. And why did he do that? Because he was attempting every last thing he could do to get reelected. Well, he didn't get reelected, and that left Biden with a real sour deal to try and manipulate around. Firstly, hats off, kratos to Biden having the guts to get out of a 20-year war that nobody else had the guts to do, even though the American people were against it, even though he had failed. The man stepped up to the plate and got out. He did fail in terms of his timing of getting people out of some of the very important things you do on a withdrawal, but that said, he still has gotten 122,000 people out. The Secretary of Treasury has made an agreement with 98 other countries, that's 98 other countries, with the Taliban, that they, if they present papers to the Taliban that shows they'll be taken by legitimate government, they will go. So that's part of the what's happened that is not been given enough credence. Does it cover all long wounds, whatever? Absolutely not. But the idea that the Republicans are floating, oh, this is a losing deal or whatever, I've just given you all the information, facts to the contrary. Now what we need to do is work with those other 98 countries and make sure the Taliban upholds its end of the deal, that they're going to let people go who can rightly go. Now, we do have the ability to put leverage on them, even though we're not there. This comes from the Secretary of State. And I and others know what the leverage is. It's sanctions. We have withheld money that the Afghans would do from the banks. We can continue to do that. We continue to do all kinds of things that we can do with any country in the world because economically we're number one. So I'd say I think Joe Biden did a marvelous job getting out. Congratulations to the men and women who somehow managed to fly every 40 minutes or so into Afghanistan and out. The people on the line who basically gassed the airplane, made sure they could fly well, took the passengers off, put them on. Kratos to them. Americans should stand proud of the resources we use to get the people out. Now we look forward to doing more work. And if the Republicans want to continue their lies, that's fine. Because I'm really, really thirsting for the 2022 election. Afghanistan being one, and many other things. Marshall?
Well, you know, here's the way I look at Afghanistan. There's two political parties. There's the Senate, there's the House, there's four presidents. There's 20 years of billions and billions of dollars. And people have lost the sight of which I bring home, and where America's big mistake is. We went into Afghanistan to find Osama bin Laden and to take ISIS out of there. We succeeded at that. We succeeded at that. And then we stayed in Afghanistan while we re-entered Iraq, looking for weapons of mass destruction, by the way, which most military people did not want to happen. But our mission in Afghanistan changed from no longer seeking to get ISIS and Osama bin Laden into, okay, we're going to build a democratic Afghanistan. So to all the people say we lost the war, our initial objective was met. We decided to stay on and do something else, while at the same time we looked for fake weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. This all set up 20 years and basically tying the hands of four presidents and allowing presidential powers, both under Democrats and Republicans, to leave the Senate and the House. And more, it was easier for us to promote airstrikes here and there because we're already in. I think it's time for the House and the Senate to take back that responsibility from the President of the United States. It's gone on for far too long. Joe Biden ended the war in Afghanistan. It had to be ended. Did it end well? No, it didn't, and you can't hide that fact. There was no easy way to end it. It was not going to be pretty. It was not going to be fair. But how many more American lives could have been and would have been lost on top of the 13 brave soldiers who died at the airport? How many more lives would have been lost to keep people in power that were taking money and not doing what the money was meant to be done? So hopefully this is the time where the United States will appreciate the fact that the military does what the military does, and it's not a political wing. It is the U.S. military. And hopefully Americans will understand that we should not go into the business of trying to change countries who are not democracies into the way we think they should run. It's a failed experiment. You can never do that. And you take a look back at the 20 years in Afghanistan, and you see that it doesn't matter. Actually, take the last 40 years between Russia and the United States. Afghanistan is Afghanistan. And so, yes, there were mistakes made in the way we actually pulled out and what happened, but it was no mistake to leave Afghanistan. Now, that is my opinion, and I'll keep that till the day I die. And we now sit here, and just remember this, not only were we spending billions of dollars in Afghanistan, but when we added the war for weapons of mass destruction, the billions of dollars that went to there, hopefully, somehow, our Congress and our Senate, working with the president and working in harmony, can put better use to those funds that are no longer going to be spent there. And better use of those funds is, yes, here in America, but also in diplomacy. This is a very big moment here now. We're out of Afghanistan. We're still going to be working to get people out on the sly and with other countries, but now we must move forward and do better things for the world and do better things for America.
Very, very well said, which leads us into the Congress getting off their duff and approving this incredible infrastructure bill that will basically get us back on track as a major country, because we've fallen behind in those things that just make a country work. Be it roads, bridges, pollution control. As we've seen, courtesy of the latest storms, we have, unequivocally, we've had it, but we have a climate crisis. If we don't deal with that strongly and effectively, then eventually you can kiss this country goodbye. Because between the burning of the West, and it's not just California, elsewhere, and the flooding of the East, this is only going to continue if we don't cut back carbon emissions and do scientifically a lot of things to curtail the climate change. So your point is extremely well said. Rather than one saying it's great he got out or somebody else is not, we have an opportunity now. We really wasted trillions of dollars there. So if the people in the Congress who say, oh, we can't spend all this money, the big talking point is, hey, buddy, we're not spending billions in Afghanistan. Ergo, we're going to use it to fund the infrastructure and any other legislation which is devoted to the country called the United States of America and its citizens.
And we can also use that the money that we save there, and like I said, in the political sense of working with other countries with sanctions and stuff to try to control things that human rights issues. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the United States and other countries trying to press human rights issues, but that's totally different from pressing human rights issues and trying to force, like, the women, if all the rights are taken away from women in Afghanistan again, to try to force a change in that, because they're going to need financial help. They don't even have people to run the airport now that it's closed. They've got to bring the Taliban have to bring in people from out of the country to run their airport. So there's lots of ways the United States can use its power and its might. But we have to start really taking control again. The Senate and the House have to, you know, get together and say, you know, presidents have had too many executive decisions that they've allowed that we used to have to be involved in. Once that happens, and once you start reinvesting that money in proper areas, we can begin anew. But you know, I worry with the partisanship that's going on, is that you would think that Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate would want to take back the legal power that they've had, that they've lost over the last 40 years. To the office of the presidency. You would hope that would happen, and once again the presidency and the Senate and the House would work together, compromising to put bills forward that benefit not only the American people, but people all over the world. That's what I hope will happen here, but I tell you, my hope doesn't go too far.
This leads me to something we discussed several years ago, Citizens United, and how it was quite obvious that was the wrong thing to do, to put power in the hands of the very wealthy to write off their donorships, their contributions, etc. What they've done, they've spent all kinds of money, these Citizens United PACs, all kinds of money to elect people who would do their bidding economically, be it stay in Afghanistan so we can continue to prosper with the corporations we control, or give me a further break on the taxes, because after all, I'm donating money. We must get our hands on what we are allowing people to do with their money when it comes to influencing politics. And the best way to do it is eliminate it. It takes a lot, I know, to do it. But, you know, if you don't try, you don't get anywhere. People have got to understand what has been going on. The middle class has basically been denied its right economically by the class, the billion-dollar class, having all kinds of exemptions so that they're paying very little tax, and the middle class continues to pay the same proportionate tax that it has been paying. Must look at it. Must do something with it. Along those lines, there's a great article in Salon by Lawrence Tribe, a scholar, a legal scholar. He basically says in the article that the current attorney general must arrest and charge Trump. Why? We need to get behind the insurrection, the money for power, the stealing that Trump and his family have done. They basically have been doing their best to democracy to their own economic. Now, Tribe is a very well-known, well-respected person. It's in Salon magazine. It's an extensive, factual article. It'll wake you up as to where we are and where we need to go in terms of getting democracy back. In terms of the stock market, it continues to hover around, we'll say, 35,000 on the Dow. With each passing day, the vulnerability increases because we have probably the Fed no longer buying government securities in the open market. Now, I'll remind you that that's the way the Fed helped to get us out of this draconian economic problem called the COVID. That said, they are going to be concluding that. That means the money they've been putting into the economy, which I kind of call free money, because it has lowered rates to almost 1.5%, no matter what your maturity you're buying in. That will impact the stock market, particularly the high flyers. When interest rates go up, they tend to be down. The second thing is the deficit. We now have a $28 trillion deficit versus $23 literally a year and a half ago. We're going to have to somehow deal with that. And taxes on people making $1 billion by basically not giving them freebies, that's one way. But we've got to reconsider our whole tax structure in terms of what we're doing with it. So we got some big things on the plate: climate change, structural changes in taxes, passing of the infrastructure bill. But all of these things, as they're taking place, have costs and concerns. And most importantly, a number of people much smarter than I am have been basically professional people edging to the exit, indicating this has been too good for too long. For those of you who are invested, simply managing like you'd manage a household budget, if you've got X amount of money in stocks and you haven't taken any profit, you immediately have to take 30% profit.
All right, Jim.
It'll not
go high. We only have about 30 seconds left.
Anyhow, God bless America. God bless Joe Biden. Let's get on with it. Let's get back to number one. Have a good week.
All right, Jim. Speak to you next week.
You got it.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.